Father, for your guidance, your leadership, your abundant mercy, Lord, Father, that you have prepared for us. I pray, Father, that as we enter into your word tonight, Lord, we will see your call in our life.
Yes.
Father, what have you set us to do? Where do you have us planted? And what is the call that you would have us to meet? Lord, we thank you and praise you for that.
Yes.
I pray that the body of Christ, as we have gathered together this evening, will be tightly united in
yes.
the bonds of love, Lord
yes.
God. And we thank you for that. We do pray for our area, Lord Jesus. I pray for Scottsville and for Chilai and for Caledonia, Lord Father, for Mumford. I pray that as we go out into our areas, Lord Jesus, that your grace would fall
yes.
off of us and just splatter all over the place.
Yes.
Father, in your love and your mercy and your great compassion,
yes.
the world would know because you have sent us there. And Lord, we thank you for those things. In Jesus' high and mighty name, amen and amen. And by the grace of God, we're in Ephesians, amen, chapter 4, once again. So if you'll open up your Bible and just kind of get into it here a little bit with us. Last week we talked about the oneness of the body of Christ, amen. Isn't it good to be one in the body? We are one in the body, we are one in the spirit. We are called in one hope of our calling. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the
Amen.
One that matters the most.
Amen.
And so, and then there's only one God and Father of all, who's above all, and he's through all, and he's in you all. That's how I know that Paul was a little Southern. You know, he's in y'all. Amen. And so, as we're getting into that, he told us about how Christ had went and he died for our sin, how he let the captive free, and he gave gifts unto men. And those gifts are kind of what we're going to be talking about tonight as we start in verse 11. Because the Holy Spirit moves on people, and God gives each individual who is born again, touched by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is living in them, he gives them a place in the body to do something.
Amen.
He didn't save nobody just to sit around on their pew. Amen. There's too many pew-riding Christians out
yeah.
there, all right? Because God saved you, and he called you to be part of a body, amen? And y'all, God has led you here, all right? And being here, he's given you a particular gift that would manifest itself here in this group of individuals for the edification of one another, amen? Those gifts of the Holy Spirit, what God has called us to do, how God is moving on us, how God's put his Spirit in us is not for you. Amen. There's a promise in that we have a kingdom, that we have a seated place in the heavenly of heavens, right? We got the authority to come into the holy place of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. But while we're on this earth, there's something to do.
Amen.
Amen. And the Holy Spirit has planted in you, the individual, the person, the church, the ecclesia, right? The ones that God called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He's got something for you to do.
Amen.
Amen. And so as Paul was writing here to the church, he says in verse 11, he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, and he gave some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come into unity of the faith. Amen. So as Paul is writing here, and he's saying, listen, God has given some apostles, he gave them some preachers, some teachers. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then you ought to at least be teaching somebody about Jesus. Amen? Yeah, you're born again, he put his Spirit in you, and if you're smart enough to read and to understand what the Holy Spirit has done to you, he has something for you. And you may say, well, I can't do something. Well, that's wonderful. Then you're the person God wants to use. You know that? He doesn't look for those prideful folks that says, I can do this. I got this completely, totally under control. I can do it. No, he's looking for those folks that says, I am not worthy. I cannot do these things. What you've called me to is way above what I can handle. God says, good. That's the person I need.
Amen.
I want that broken vessel right over there. I want that one that doesn't think that he or she can do what I've called them to. That way, God's going to get all the glory and that person's not going to get any. Amen. And that's the whole idea, how God is calling people into his great grace and his great glory and his great apostleship. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18b, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Amen. Remember that? Who's going to build the church? Jesus is, right? And what's going to happen? Who's going to have the victory?
Jesus.
We are. Right? We are. We, the church, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Against the church. Against those who have been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. No matter what Satan can bring up, whatever the gates of hell can throw at you, it cannot harm you, it cannot touch you, it cannot move you, it cannot defeat you, it cannot sink you, it cannot stop you. Why? Because the person in you is greater than he who is in the world, right? His name is Jesus, his spirit is holy, and the Father of light, the Father that spoke everything to existence, is commanding us where we are, who we should be.
Listen.
Now, in the body of Christ, there are many, many members. 1 Corinthians, I believe, I think I got it down. Okay. If you'll turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, stick you a little note keeper there in Ephesians and flip back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talking about the body of Christ. Amen. Now, most of the sermon tonight is going to be in Corinthians, amen, because he's talking about how God prepares the body and what the body is supposed to do. And starting in verse 4, he says, now there are diversities of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. Do you know that your gift is not the same as somebody else's gift? And it's okay that if your gift isn't like somebody else's gift, that's good. I am glad that my kidney doesn't do what my heart does. Amen? Because I don't need all those organs doing the same thing. I don't need my blood to act like a fingernail. I don't need my hand to act like a foot. I don't need my mouth to act like an eyeball. See, those are different parts in the body, but each one is it's important. And you are a body, a member, a part of the body of Christ called charity. Well, actually called the church. And right now you're here at this place that we call love. Amen? Love. Charity Bible, loving the Bible, Charity Bible. And so, and he says, there are different types, there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Who's working us and pulling us together?
Same God.
Same God. It's the same God, the same Holy Spirit that's in you, same Holy Spirit that's in me. You know what that means? That we are the same.
Right.
I'm not better than you. My thing, my part of the body is a mouth. All right? And that's what God allows me to speak the Word of God. He allows me time to study the Word of God and to proclaim the Word of God. But I can't do what I do unless you guys are praying for me. I can't do what I do unless the rest of the body is taking care of the ministry, the servanthood inside of the body of Christ. There are different things that we all got to do. What if you're in your physical body, what if your lung just decided not to work today? You know, I'm not going to come to the body today. I'm sorry. You know, I've got other things to do. I'm going to go hang out with somebody else. I'm going to hang out with somebody else's lung. I ain't going to hang out in the body that I belong to. Well, that body would be weak, right? It wouldn't be able to do everything that it's supposed to do. That's why we are not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And when that sum is not assembling together, that makes a weaker body, right? It makes a weaker body. That's why it's so important for us to come together, because God is doing this wonderful work in us.
Amen.
Verse 7 says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God in you is not for your benefit.
Right.
You know, you could get a sign on your mirror and say, I'm born again, washed the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm a possessor, I'm a container of the Holy Spirit, and it ain't about me. All right? And that's a good way to start your day. Amen. It's all about God. It's all about serving
Amen.
Others. See, he says that the manifestation, that means the making revealed, awakening. Of the things that are going on, the coming alive, the manifestation, the appearing, okay? The appearing of the Spirit, or the coming in of the Spirit, is given to every man to profit everybody else. That's exactly what he said there. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge, but by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally or individually as he wills.
Amen.
Amen? As he wills.
Right.
Now you see, whose will is it that I do what I do?
Yes.
It's God's will. God called me to this. Believe me, if the church that I came from, what the pastor told me, he said, if you can do anything else, Curtis, do that. Do that. Because this is the, if you ain't called to the pastorship, if you're not called to be a pastor, you will not make it. It is
right.
The hardest job you'll ever do in your life.
Amen.
It is, and I did not understand that at the time. I was so full of zeal and ready to go, man. Nothing can stop me. Well, still nothing can stop me, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen.
Right.
But, and see, the Holy Spirit enables me to do what I do.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit's going to enable you to do what you're going to do.
Amen.
All right? That is not your will that does it. It's God's will.
Right.
And the way we get into God's will is we've got to kill our will, that God's will might be manifest in each of us.
Yes.
That big word is called surrender. All right?
I love it.
Amen. Isn't that a good word? Surrender. I surrender most. No, it's supposed to be all, right? I surrender most. Now, and so anyhow, we've got to get to that point where it's not most that we surrender. We fully surrender to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Fully, completely, totally,
amen,
unashamedly, that he is the Lord of our lives. And he's the one who directs us. He says in verse 12 here, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. All right? So he's talking to your physical body, a lot of different parts. Amen? The knee bones connect to the hip bone, the hip bones connect to the... anyhow, my body's messed up because I was going to the foot next. Anyhow, but you see, all those different parts, all those different things that are going on in your body, God has designed them to work perfectly in their order, right? And God has called you to a body of believers. And he didn't call you to a body of believers just to sit down and do nothing.
Amen.
If you have something in your body that's just taken from your body, your physical body, just taken and taken and taken, not giving nothing back, what's that called? A tick. No, what's that called? It's a cancer, right? A cancer just takes and it really gives nothing back. But when the body works together properly and we all follow the Holy Spirit and do what the Holy Spirit has called us to,
right,
then the body becomes complete. It becomes able to do the things that God has called that body to do. Amen? And we here at Charity, we're called. We are called. There's each and every one of us here that come, that God has moved in us and on us, and he's anointed each of us to do what he's commanded us
Amen.
To do. Amen?
Yeah.
And he will enable you to fulfill what he has called you to do.
Right.
But all you got, the only thing that's stopping us and doing what God has called us to is air and opportunity. And you may say, well, the air can't stop me, so I must not have the opportunity. Well, stop that. You have the opportunity. If God is leading you to do something,
right,
ask about it.
Amen.
You say, Pastor, I need to do something in the body. I just don't know what to do. I have a list. Okay? I have a list. And we'll go through those lists and we'll let God work in you. You look over the list and you say, man, I don't know if I can do that, but I think I can do this. I don't know if I can go door to door talking to people, but I think I can write letters. I think I can call people, you know, and just give them a word of encouragement. I think I can go out in the summertime and mow somebody's lawn that can't be mowed. I think I can do something. I think I can show up here and mow the lawn here once a week. I believe that I can scrub a toilet, you know.
Yeah.
That may not be a glorious job, but if it ain't done, you find out exactly what needs to be done in the bathroom, right? And so there's always something to be done inside of the body of Christ. We need encouragers.
Amen.
We really do. In the body of Christ, in the church today, we need folks to call each other and just encourage one another. Mm-hmm. We need people filled with the Holy Spirit that are willing to love one another the way that Christ has called us to love each other.
Yes.
You know, and we can't keep that. If you have that unabounding love inside of you, you cannot keep it contained.
Amen.
Right? You can't keep it contained. So you need to get to a spot where you can pour those things out. You know, because God has touched you, He's anointed you, He's blessed you, He's called you, and He gave you a calling inside of the body of Christ to accomplish His will on this earth in our time, right? And so, verse 14, for the body cannot say to one, is not one member, but many. For if the foot say, because I am not the hand, I'm not part of the, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, I mean, seriously, think about that. And if the ear say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not the body? Really, just because you don't think that you're part of something doesn't mean that you ain't part of it. Mm-hmm. Right? You are part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And you are needed. You're needed in the body to do the things that you're called to do.
Yes.
Right? And so the whole body, if it were the eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were the hearing, where would the smelling? But God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased Him.
Right.
Oh, so you're here? Why? Because God, it pleased Him. All right? God said, you know what? Y'all, I'm going to bring you to a place, to a fellow that ain't real educated. I'm going to bring you to a place where it's a little bit smaller, a little bit different. I'm going to bring you to a place that he's not politically correct. I'm going to bring you to a place where you can be used, you can be comfortable. All right? And why? Because that's what God wants to do.
Amen.
Amen. It's not about us. It's all about Him. And that's what God wants. He sets every member in the body as it pleases God. Right? You are brought here, and that's what God wants you to do. And if there were all one member, where were the body? But are not, they are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need of thee. Now, we can't look at each other and say, I don't need you. You ought to look at each other right now, somebody that you ain't kin to, and tell them that you need them. Right. I need you. Amen. We need one another. Now stop that. That's a little too squishy. No. We need one another. We need one another in the body. We need to be a unit. We need to be united in one body, one baptism, one faith, under one Lord, one God. That is the Father of all.
Yes.
Right? That's where the body needs to be, is that unity, is the fullness of the body. And when somebody isn't here, their other parts of the body ought to reach out to that person.
Amen.
And say, listen, I missed you. I love you. You know, you should have been. Not that you should have been here. I missed you.
Right.
You know, you can say that. I just missed you. I miss seeing your frowning face or smiling face. Oh, actually, if everybody turned upside down, all that would be smiles in the congregation. It would just got to hang from your feet by the ceiling. Everybody be smiling. I'm sorry. It's just, can you tell I drank a cup of coffee before church? I did. And so, he talks about all being one body and what we ought to be. And the eye, we can't say that we don't need each other. 22 says, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem more feeble are necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You look at one another, you say, they just don't look like they can do much. Right? It doesn't look like it does very much. But if it's doing what God has called it to do, what's that song? Little as much when God is in it. Suffer not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and I can win it if I go in Jesus' name. Right? So there's something for you as you go in Jesus' name. There's something for you. And that is very important for the body of Christ. Not just charity, but the body worldwide.
All right?
Now, I'm talking about our body right here, right? And you're looking at somebody like, I don't know, I ain't going to point out no person, but you're saying, that, I don't see how that cat can do anything. Boy, he's nothing. Every time he wakes up or steps up, he falls down. Well, we need that person.
Yes.
You know, we need that. We need that, because if he falls down, we get to trip on top of him. gives us a soft landing, right? So you know, you see, and we should never think something less of somebody else in the body.
Amen.
Our job is to build that person up, to love that person where they're at, and then allow the Holy Spirit to give that person direction to fulfill the call of Christ in their circumstances.
Right.
Amen. That's what the body of Christ is for. And and those members which are of the body and things be less honorable, those upon those we bestow more abundant honor. See, we need to praise those little children. Praise the old folks. Mm-hmm. You know, praise the children and the old folks and the medium people, the folks in the midway. We'll tolerate you because you were young and one day you're going to be old, right? So, we need the whole thing. We need the whole thing. And so, he gets talking into the comely parts and stuff like that. The biggest thing is that we need to remember that we are in the body of Christ for the glorifying of God. Verse 12 of Ephesians 4, I told you to put a marker there. You can come back to it. See, he has some pastor, he has some prophets, he has some evangelists, some teachers, and you know, and it's for the reason that it is for the perfecting, for making whole the saints, for the working of the ministry. All right, the reason that he has all of us here, the reason that he has all of us coming together, the reason that he's moved on us and lives in us, is that we are to work together to fulfill the high calling of God.
Amen.
Right? It's real. It sounds simple, but it's, you cannot do it without being connected to the body.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, if you cut your finger off here, I took a hatchet and I chopped it off. I took that pretty axe that Jacob polished up for him. Have y'all seen that axe? Oh my goodness! It is the prettiest axe I've ever seen in my life. I'm sorry, I'm chasing a rabbit down a hole here. Just bear with me. I had an old beat up axe. The bottom side of it was flared out. I'd used it to break rocks with. It was an ugly, rusty old axe. Anyhow, Jacob saw it. And he said, "Do you want that axe to be sharp?" And I said, "Well, I don't care. I bust rocks with it. What do I care?" He said, "No, I'll take care." And he brought it home. He kept it for 2 weeks or something like that. He brought that thing back to me, and it is, oh my goodness, if I wasn't preaching, I'd go to my office and get it and just brag about it. I'm going to hang it on the wall. He asked me if I'd cut any wood with it, and I said, "It's too pretty to cut wood with. It's just, you can't get that thing dirty. It's too pretty." And so anyhow, I chased that down because that's what we are. God sees us. When he found us, we were an old, rusty, beat up, bent, twisted axe. Dull, not good for much of nothing. And then the master got a hold of us and he polished us up. And he gave us a good cutting edge. He cut off all the dead, rough parts. He took that old axe handle that you had that gave you splinters if you swung it long, and he sanded it down. He put a coat of varnish on top of it. And now you are usable in the body of Christ. And you maybe before you're only good for busting rocks. Well, now you're good for dividing the soul and the spirit.
Amen.
You're good for using the word of God. You have a purpose now. And you only have that purpose when you're completely connected in the body of Christ.
Amen.
That's a complete connection. Not just every once in a while, but this is a connection where when the doors are open, we gather together.
Yes.
Amen. And when the doors ain't open, we reach out to one another. And we have that fellowship, right, that builds the body of Christ, that encourages one another, to let us know that we're not just Christians on Sunday and Wednesday, that we're Christians through the week. Every Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're there for each other, we're loving one another, we're edifying each other, we're sharing the Spirit of God that is in us with each other, and walking together, all right, walking together. And that's what Paul is saying here to the body of Christ, we're to edify. That's the edifying for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Amen. How long are we supposed to do this?
Always.
Till we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. And see, there's coming a day. We're going to do this work. We're going to work together. We're going to pull together. We're going to study together. We're going to pray together. We're going to edify one another until the perfect unity comes.
Amen.
And I will be perfectly unified with Christ someday.
Yes.
When the sky is open, I'll fly away.
Right?
So anyhow, until we come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow!
Amen.
Doesn't that tell you that there's some work still needs to be done? Amen. Right? We have not made it there yet. That means we got to keep going. Amen. Because I have not met the fullness of Christ yet. Although I try my hardest, I do my best, and I'm better today than what I was last year and last month.
Amen.
But I got to keep pushing on. I got to keep edifying. I got to keep studying. I got to keep working this thing out until that Spirit of God builds me up into this stature. And someday, this old man, this old corruption is going to shake off its old nastiness.
Amen.
And I will be, and you, if you've trusted Jesus, you will be glorified in the newness of life. Amen. You'll be glorified. You will have a glorified body. All sin will be done away with. Woo! Man, won't that be a happy day to wake up one day and never sin again? Amen. There's coming a day that I will not sin.
Amen.
Man! I cannot wait for that day. I ain't going to jump out in front of a truck to get there, but I'm going to live my best right now. Right? I'm going to live my best right now with you guys. And I'm going to pour my life into you, and you're going to pour your life into me. And we're not going to do it for the self-glorification, but for the edifying of the body of Christ until we meet that fullness.
Amen.
Until we get to the desired direction. Amen?
Amen.
And we need one another. See, we need one another. Like when I fall short, and folks who know me know that I do, then I need Justin to come along beside me and say, "Pastor, come on, son. You know that wasn't right." Right? And he pulls me straight. Or I wish Jim was here, because I get kind of surly sometimes when I'm not in the spirit and I'm just in my flesh. I'm a little snotty every once in a while. I get that way. And I'm sure that y'all don't have that problem, except for Stu. You know, y'all don't have that problem, but I got that problem. I'm wrapped in my flesh. I got problems with myself. But God, right? There's coming a day that I won't have to worry about that no more. So I'm going to keep in the body of Christ until that day.
Amen.
I'm going to keep pushing on. I'm going to keep seeking the fullness of God. I'm going to keep on edifying. I'm going to keep on loving. I'm going to keep on pouring my life out that God might fill
Amen.
Me up with the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And that is what we're called to do. That's how we're called to love one another. In verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about in every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love. Ooh, boy, that's a tough one right there. Speaking the truth, but loving them at the same time. So it's easy to speak the truth, right? It's easy to wield this, instead of the sword of the Spirit, wield the battle axe of Curtis, right? And you can take this Bible, you can cut people up with it. It may be truth, but is it marked in law?
Right.
See, you got to speak that truth of God's righteousness, His holiness, especially in the body of Christ in love.
Amen.
See, there's so many folks when a Christian stumbles or he falls into sin or something, he gets caught by a snare, right? And it becomes public. What do the church do? They gather up on them like a bunch of coyotes eating one of their own wounded. We jump on them, we beat them up, we make them feel bad, we chop them into pieces. Folks, that should not be.
Amen.
That should not be. We're supposed to come along beside those wounded Christians, lift them up, love them, support them, heal them, right?
Amen.
We heal them. We tell them the truth of what they did. We tell them the truth about the circumstances. But we love them through that problem.
Yes.
We don't cast out the baby with the bathwater, right? We got to keep that idea up, that we henceforth are no more. See, when you do that, you're a child.
Right.
You're a child. You're just immature. You're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Oh, my goodness. I know a lot of folks that do that. Well, there's a new doctrine. No, there isn't. There's only the doctrines that are in the Bible. That's the only doctrines that matter, right? That's what you look for. That's what you live by. If somebody says, "I have a new thing from God," well, no, they don't. The book is sealed. You cannot add to it. You cannot take away from it. the book is sealed, holy, and set apart. And we're called. Are you okay, buddy?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's worried about me.
Worried about her?
I'm having leg problems.
Oh. Do you want to stand up and walk around?
He wants me to.
Well, you can if you want
to. I just feel funny doing that all the time.
Oh, honey. We love you. Hey, you're part of the body. Won't we get you and hold you up?
Oh,
hold on. Stop it. It ain't stupid. Here, set this Bible down. You're part of us. I love you. Let me pray for you real quick, okay? Dear Father, I thank you so much for Stephanie,
yes.
Lord Jesus. I lift her up. Father, mm-hmm. She's even now having leg cramps. She's having some trouble in her body and some things that are going on. And Lord, I pray for her. I pray that you would heal her, that you would touch that spot. Lord, if she needs to get up and walk around, let her have that liberty, Father. Let her have that ability to do so. Lord, and let her be glorified. Glorify yourself in her, Father. She is part of us, and we love her.
Yes.
And, Father, I pray that you would touch her, Father, even at this moment, and ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Come on up with me, baby girl.
Okay.
All right. Oh! You just walk around, do whatever you need to. I'll walk with you. Come on.
Okay.
This is how you do it.
You're walking.
Amen. See, this is about what love is, you know. It's not, see, you can sit up there in a pulpit and you can talk about things. You can say that you care, but when you see a brother and sister naked and destitute, hurting, right, and you don't do anything to help them, you don't love them in the midst of that, then your religion is worthless.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
That's right.
I love you. You walk around to your comfortable as much and as long as you want to. And now, see, you don't see a lot of folks doing that in the church.
Yeah.
Right? Why not? Why not? You see somebody hurting? Why don't you get up off of your pew and do what you need to? You see somebody hungry? Why don't you tend to them? You see somebody naked? Why don't you clothe them? You know, you see somebody in that point that maybe it's just brokenheartedness. Why do we got to always preach or sing? Why can't we just come along and wrap our arms around people and love them the way we're supposed to?
Amen.
You know, when Jesus saw somebody hurting, he stopped the crowd.
Yes.
Amen. When that woman had the issue of blood and she pushed through the crowd. Now, he was surrounded by people and he stopped right there. He said, I felt the power come out of me. I know somebody touched me. Somebody got healed. And he stopped.
Amen.
When the lepers were crying out, he stopped. They were heading to another town. He stopped. When he was going to Jerusalem, had to go through Samaria, he stopped because he knew that there was one soul there that needed some truth, needed some love, needed some compassion.
Amen.
See, we get so caught up in our stupid selves, right? And I know I'm crude, right? But we do. We get caught up in whatever's going on here and whatever's about me. I tell you what, the sun does not rise and set on you.
It's
about the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. It's not about you. It's not about your feelings. It's not about your emotions. It's about your brother. It's about your sister.
Amen.
It's about the love of Christ. Until we get into that unity.
Yes.
See, often we get tossed to and fro by and carried by every wind of doctrine.
Mm.
You know, we got to get out. We got to get out of our religion.
Right.
We really do.
Right.
We've got to come back to the relationship that God has with us, that Jesus
Amen.
Gave us, that he gave us in the body.
Amen.
Now, you see how we dealt with that little thing right there real quick? Now imagine when here's a good one. I was setting the trap, right, for the groundhog, right? And I split my finger open. I mean, I got this good cut. When I did that, guess where it hurt? All over. Right? It hurt. Now there's one little whack right here on my finger and it hurt all over my body. When one of us hurts, we all ought to
Amen.
Hurt with it.
Amen.
When one of us is hungry, we all ought to feel those. When one of us is brokenhearted, we all ought to weep. When one of us rejoices, we all ought to rejoice. Because
yes.
we are one in the body. We're one in Christ.
Amen.
And if we get that way, we stay that way, we won't be tossed around by every wind of doctrine that comes up. We won't be, I heard so-and-so on the radio saying such and such that Jesus was here, that all this stuff was going on, all that.
Yeah.
Stop that. Okay, just stop that. What does the Bible say? What's the Holy Spirit showed you? And have you talked to the rest of the body about it? You know, because sometimes you get a wild idea. You heard something on the radio. You saw something on TV. You saw something happening. And you get sucked into that for a minute. But when you bring it to the rest of the body of Christ, you say, hey, what have y'all heard about this thing? Right? And I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit that's living in Ryan there, the Holy Spirit that's living in Diane and Stu and Mike and Donna and Don and all those folks here that are born again, when you bring that stuff up to them, you'll hear the truth. Right? Because God still speaks to his people.
Yes,
amen? He pulls out those wrinkles. He knocks those dents out. He fixes that false doctrine with the truth of God's word.
Yes.
Now see, he says, and he talks about this, the sleight of man, the trickery of man, the cunning and the craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See, all those false doctrines, all they're trying to do is fool you, to draw you away from the body, from the unity of God.
That's right.
Right? And when you get caught up in that. But see, we as the body of Christ, verse 15, says, speaking truth in love. Amen. Why? That we may grow into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We have a goal.
Amen.
My goal is to be more like Jesus.
Amen.
I want to be more like Jesus. I want to grow. In fact, the Bible says that we are being conformed into the image of Christ.
Right.
How am I doing that? By eternal sanctification.
Amen.
I'm doing that by walking, by living, by trusting, by staying connected to the body, staying connected to the vine. I guess we could go there.
Amen.
Staying in where the Spirit, where the juices, where the fullness of God starts working in each and every individual,
right.
Where love starts overflowing and fruit starts just abounding in us. Amen.
Praise God.
And it sounds so simple, and it really is simple. Again, like I said, the only thing between us and that is error and opportunity, right? You've got the opportunity to be that. The only thing that's stopping you is error.
Yeah.
Don't let the error stop you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let anything on this earth stop you from being everything God has called you to be.
Amen.
Including yourself.
Yes.
Amen? Because
yeah.
Most times we don't do things that God wants us to do because we don't want to do it. But if, think about this, as the body, and I tell my hand to clench a fist, right? It just refused to do it. I ain't going to clench a fist. Well, I told you to clench a fist. I ain't going to do it. I'm going to stay open like a hand all day long. I can't pick up nothing because it won't close around nothing. Well, what? How stupid, how worthless would that be? Right? You couldn't do nothing with it. Amen? Couldn't do nothing with it. But when everything is connected right, when the nerves and the muscles and the tendons are connected to the head the way that they're supposed to be, the head says, all right, hand, you've had your way enough. It's time for you to close. Right? And it works that way. And it's time for you to speak. It's time for you to see. It's time for you to go. And as the head commands the body, so the body does.
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so who's the head? What, his name, say it like you know him.
Jesus.
He is Jesus, right? And when the head tells you to do something, what's the body supposed to do? It. Whatever it is, amen? You're supposed to do it. Now, in that, we need to speak the truth of God's word in those situations, in around that hurting person. Speak the truth, but you do it with a heart of compassion.
Amen.
Because that's how Jesus talked to you. When Jesus saw you in the midst of your sin, when Jesus saw you in the midst of your filth, he saw you and he had compassion on you. And he drew you with cords of love. Jesus didn't condemn you. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came that the world might be saved. He came to show his grace, his goodness, his compassion, his mercy. That's what he came for. And then he left us here, filled with his Holy Spirit, to be nasty and condemning and cruel to each other, right? No, not at all. He left us here to be exactly who he was,
amen.
Who he is,
amen.
Full of compassion, full of mercy, full of tenderheartedness, but never backing away from truth,
mm-hmm.
Right? So we stand in truth, but we deliver it with love, right? What's that Mary Poppins song? Spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, right? The medicine is a nasty thing, but if you get enough honey on it, it ain't that bad. It makes it tolerable,
mm-hmm.
Right? So we tell the truth to people.
Right.
But we don't do it to condemn them. We do it to lift them up.
Amen.
We tell the truth out of God's word, not of our own opinions. And we do that with a spirit of it's love, right? It's agape.
Amen.
It's that spirit of agape that we're supposed to deal with. Because Christ, the head, did it for us. In verse 16, for whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. Did you see what he said here? Now, you're talking about the body, and we were in Corinthians about the body and how we're supposed to be working, and he says that Jesus is the head, he's the Christ, he's the head. From that head, the whole body is fitly joined together. You don't think you belong? You're wrong. Amen? Because God called you here and he's fitting you together.
Amen.
You say, I don't fit. Relax. You know why most folks don't fit? Because they're too stiff. Right? If you relax, you'll slide right in. Right? You relax, boy, you'll slip right into the spot that you need to be. And
Amen.
God will. It's like cogs in a wheel, right? It's like, I use this analogy a lot. Because I used to tinker with watches. Have you ever opened up an old-timey watch? You open up the new ones nowadays, just a transistor stuff. It's just a big old plastic thing. You don't know what it is. But the old watches, where you had to wind them up, mm-hmm. right? You see all those itty-bitty gears and all those little bitty things in there. And boy, they're just small and they're wound up and tensiled up just right. And every time one of those cogs turns and gets locked into another, something happens. Every 60 seconds, the minute hand moves. Every 60 minutes, the hour hand moves. At the end of the day moves if you got it set right. And, you know, and it does, and it just works together like this. And that's what the body of Christ is supposed to do.
Amen.
He is fitting us together. He has us as individuals mm-hmm. sliding together and accomplishing what he wants mm-hmm. to accomplish in us for him. That we can keep time. Amen. And he'll keep us wound up if we stay connected to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right? He'll give us everything we need. He'll guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit does that. He will remind us everything that Jesus did. The Holy Spirit does that. And we do that through the reading of the Word, the studying, the coming together, the edifying, the building up of each other, the loving of one another. Why? For the effectual working in the measure of every part. Because in those watches, they have those itty-bitty, teensy-tiny springs. I mean, they're a little bitty. But if you lose one, that watch ain't working.
Right?
Right? That you take that thing apart, if you don't put it together right, it ain't going to work at all. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Father, they make us the body of Christ with all its little itty-bitty parts. Mm-hmm. The way we're weighed, the way we're balanced, the way that we're fit and knitted together. We work perfectly.
Amen.
When we're in the spot that we need to be. And where what makes us in the right spot? When we relax in Jesus Christ.
That's it.
Amen? That's it. It's simple. You relax in him. You submit to him. You listen to him. You follow his word. You trust him above all else. You lean into his love, his grace, his mercy. And he will mold you. Right?
That's right.
What's that? I think it was Jeremiah, go into the potter's house. Watch what the potter does.
Potter
in the clay. And that potter is there at the spinning wheel and is making some kind of pot. And potter just crushed it. Made it all over. And God said, why can't I do that with my people? You know, there's something in you that God wants to get out. He wants to use us in that very intricate cog. In that very interesting. But sometimes there's an imperfection there that he needs to take out because we're just not fitting right. We're going in there, right, and it just ain't going together. You know why? Because there's something that needs to be trimmed off of us. Remember what Jesus said in John 15. I'm the vine, my Father is the husbandman, and he trims off. He fits us together. He cuts away that dead stuff that we can fit together and produce fruit.
Bless him.
All right? Yeah. That's all his work. And the only thing we need to do is obey.
Relax,
trust, move forward in the grace that he's given you. Mm-hmm. And knowing that he is going to complete the work that he started in you.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
He's going to do it. But you got to be relaxed enough that when God says, I need to remake you, I need to change your direction. Yeah, you've been going this way for a long time, but right here, right now, I need to do something, and I'm going to prepare you to do it. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this. When God wanted to accomplish something, he prepared a person to do that job.
That's right.
Amen? Mm-hmm. God was preparing to make a nation unto himself. So he found Abraham on the backside of Ur. The backside of Ur. And he said, hey, come on out. Abe said, okay, I will. Then they get up, they move a little bit later, and they go up to Haran, and God speaks to him again and says, hey, Abe, if you'll get out of your father's house, away from everything you own, I will make you a great nation. 75 years old. Okay, wait a second. God, I ain't got no kids. Trust me, you'll have them.
Amen.
All right? So Abraham said, all right, I will let you break me away from my family. I'll let you break me away from what I trust, what I know. I'll let you take that away, and I'm going to follow you into the desert, right? Philip, New Testament. He was just a deacon, right? And he went, the persecution rose in the church, and he went off to Samaria, and he started preaching the gospel. The Holy Spirit was doing a lot of cool stuff. In the middle of a revival, and he was in the midst of it, Peter and John had come, and they laid hands on folks. Holy Spirit was going places. Things happened. God said, okay, hey, Phil, I want you to get up today, and I want you to walk out to the middle of the desert. Go that way. He didn't tell him how long he was going to be. He didn't tell him sack of lunch. He didn't tell him nothing. Head that way. Now, if Phil had not done what the Holy Spirit told him to do at that time, he would have missed the Ethiopian.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then the gospel wouldn't have got to Africa. Wouldn't have got to Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. So Phil did exactly what he was supposed to. And by God's divine providence, you got a train going this way. You got a man walking through the desert this way. And they met up. Perfect.
Amen.
Right? Perfect. Why? Because that cog in the wheel was trimmed down and he was able to do what he was supposed to do. He was part of the larger body of Christ and he was obedient to the Lord and he followed the Lord and God did great things through that guy.
Amen.
Just a fellow. Nothing special. Mm-hmm. Nothing special. There's nothing special about him at all. He was just a servant in the house of God. Mm-hmm. And he did what the Holy Spirit told him to do. And when he did, the gospel exploded.
Amen.
And great things happened, right? And so even in you, God's going to explode in you. He has brought us together. We need to have him as our head. And he does this for the increasing of the body, the edifying of itself in love. The increasing of the body. If Abraham hadn't went, Israel would have not been born through him, all right? If Philip hadn't went, the gospel wouldn't have got to Africa at the time that it got to Africa, Ethiopia, right? Those things had to happen at those particular times, and God has something for you because he has you here on a Wednesday night. Amen? He has you here right now at this time, and as I'm speaking, God's got his little whittling knife out, and he's trying to cut some dead stuff off of you. He's trying to trim some of that stuff where you're saying, I can't do it. And God says, I know you can't do it. Get up and go. I'm not able. I didn't call Abel. I called you. I can't do it. Right? And Abel. Cain, Abel. I'm sorry. It's a real bad, punny Bible joke. Anyhow. God made the increase, edifying itself in agape, in that love. And this is therefore, and this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, verse 17, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now catch what he says here very carefully. You're part of the church. You're part of the light. All right? Now that you're part of the light, don't go back to the way you used to be.
Amen.
All right? That's all it is. He's just warning the church here, don't go back.
Right.
Don't be like where Peter says the dog returns to his vomit. Right? Right? Don't do that, or the sow goes back to her mire. You know, yeah, there were the things that I used to do. Well, that person died.
Amen.
And the proof of that death was when I baptized, the water baptism. I died to that when the Holy Spirit came into me and he made me a new life.
Amen.
Part of the new living way, right? And then to show the whole world that that was done, I surrendered to the baptism. This old Curtis Fitz is dead and drowned in the water.
Amen.
And he's going to come to the newness of life. And that was the example. Mm-hmm. Now, it took a little bit of time. That sanctification takes a little time. I mean,
yes.
I wanted to do right, but what was in me was wrong. The way I was thinking was wrong. So God had to change my stinking thinking.
Right. Right.
And He changed my thinking, stinking thinking through the living Word. All right? And He changed my stinking thinking by coming to the congregation and listening to the Word of God from individuals filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
All right? And they led me, they guided me, they tutored me, they corrected me when I was wrong. Amen? And that's what the body is for. That's why we come together. That's why we study together. That's how we grow together. These are the things that God does, right? In us, through us, for Him. All right? Now, in verse 18, he says, "We at one time we had our understanding darkened. We were alienated from life of God." Right? Before you knew Christ, you were dead.
Right.
There was no life in you. You could try living. You were sucking air, right? But that's all you were doing. You were fulfilling the lust of your flesh, but you were not enjoying the abundant life that only comes through a right relationship with God.
Right.
And then we came out of that. We came out through the grace and the mercy of God. He called us, He brought us, He bought us, He grafted us in, He redeemed us, He sanctified us.
Bless.
He made us new creatures in Christ. Amen?
Bless.
So since you're new, don't go back to the old ways. I don't want to drink alcohol anymore. I don't want to do those things. I don't like that anymore.
Amen.
There's nothing appealing in that anymore because I have a new understanding of who I am in Christ.
Bless.
I have a new understanding of who God is.
Bless
in
him.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Bless Him. Amen. Bless His name. Thank God for your salvation.
Yes.
Thank you, Justin. Yes. Thank God. See, even that. Right there, in testimony time, all Justin says, thank God for my salvation.
Mm-hmm.
I wish every single one of us would wake up with that same heart song.
Amen.
Thank God for my salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me.
Bless.
Thank you, Jesus, for giving me hope in a hopeless situation.
Yeah.
Amen. But God, amen? He is so good. He loves you so much.
Bless.
Why would we go back?
Mm-hmm.
Why would we go back? After coming this far, why would we go back? Verse 19. Now, it's 8 o'clock. This would be a good spot to stop. Okay, because he's going to start talking about the working of the flesh and stuff like this. And so we need to understand right now who we are in Christ Jesus.
Right?
You need to understand the fullness and the newness of life that he's given you.
Yes.
You need to understand that you're part of the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
and that he has something for you to do. And it's not that you are capable of doing it, but God is capable of doing
Amen.
It through you. Amen?
Awesome.
Moses was not able to go back and talk to Pharaoh. He stuttered.
Mm-hmm.
He stuttered, and he didn't even want to go back because he murdered a man. Ooh, who here murdered somebody? I mean, maybe not with a stick and a stone and a knife, but with your tongue.
Right.
With
right.
your heart. With a little bit of hatred.
Right.
You murder somebody this week? Maybe it's time to come up to that burning bush, kick off your feet because you're on holy ground. Maybe it's time to listen to that voice of God saying, go back and set my people
Amen.
Free.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have your excuse. Lord, I stutter. Lord, I'm too proud. I can't go make right with that person. I can't do that. I can't go back. And God's saying, stop. I'll do it through you if you'll just walk with me.
Amen.
So surrender to Him.
Right.
Trust in Him. Relax in Him. And He will make you a cog
Amen.
In the wheel of God.
Bless
Amen.
Him. Praise Him.
What was that? It was a wheel within a wheel. Right? That's what Ezekiel saw. A wheel within a wheel. Perfect fitting together. Making motion for God. That's what we are.
Bless Him.
We're just individual pieces working in a greater body
right.
for the glory of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But if we refuse to work, then we become a cancer in the body. And then it's harder to make things go. It's harder to work together if we don't all work together, right? So for the glory of God, let's do those things that God has called us to.
Amen.
Trusting in Him, following Him, obeying Him, leaning in Him.
Yes.
Willing to sacrifice your life for for the edifying of the one who's sitting next to you. Amen. Thank you. I love you. God bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love you, Father. We ask even now for the truth of your word to permeate in us, percolate, Father. We heard some things, and the heat of the Holy Spirit is just bubbling up on our inside. And I pray, Father, even right now at this moment, that you were spoke to us, and you know that you moved on your body in such a way that they know, that we know,
Amen.
That we need to be more in tune,
yes.
more whittled down, that we could fit yes. proper and to accomplish the high call of Christ in our
Amen.
Lives. Lord, thank you for joining us together.
Yes.
Thanking you for the great work that you can accomplish here.
Bless
and Lord, we rest in you, we trust in you, we praise you in Jesus' name.
Yes,
Amen.
Amen.